Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
The South African economy. I think there was no doubt that people were looking originally, certainly, to Cyril Ramaphosa as being the person that was going to get the economy right. The question is, how has he been? How has he been in terms of South Africa's economic growth? I see that Newsday has an article, Cyril Ramaphosa and F.W. de Klerk, the worst presidents for economic growth since South Africa was formed in 1910. Okay, well, let's speak to somebody who does know what he's talking about, Davie Ruit, founder, director, and chief economist of The Efficient Group. A very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. Why has Ramaphosa's economic record come under scrutiny now?
Hello, good morning to you. Well, I think the obvious reason why everybody's talking about him and his legacy, in a way, is because the South African economy has been performing really bad for quite a long period of time. And that is during the time when he was either president or deputy president. I can give you some numbers, but one number, for example, is that the average South African today is worse off than approximately 15 years ago. We made just about no progress the past 15 years. But I think it's a little bit, you know, it's perhaps a little bit unfair to him to just to point a finger at Cyril Ramaphosa only and say it's all his fault, because it certainly isn't all his fault. I think it's circumstances, or a lot of things happened. We know, for example, what is currently happening in the Middle East is impacting on the South African economy. But more broadly speaking, I think if you want to point a finger at somebody, I would point a finger to the ANC, because they have a certain ideology. We know the ANC is also known for things like incompetence. Quite often it's corruption and everything that goes with that. So I think he, in a way, is a product of circumstances, and he's also a product of the ANC. Don't only blame him, but certainly I don't think he's a good president. I think he's a weak leader. I think he should have taken a stance in many instances, and it could have been much, much better if we had somebody with more of a backbone than Cyril Ramaphosa. But I think it's a little bit unfair to say it's only him.
Was he actually a good businessman?
No, I don't think so at all. I think people said at the beginning of his reign, if I can call it that, is that he's a businessman. He's not going to be corrupted because he's wealthy already. I know those are some of the quotes that I read in the newspapers. He's a businessman. He knows what's going on. He knows how to make the necessary decisions to get the economy to grow and all that. That's all, of course, false, because he's not really a businessman. He never really created anything. He's a result of all sort of BE deals, and he was on the receiving end of many of these BE deals. I think he maintained his wealth in a way, so from that point of view, perhaps he's a businessman. But if you can mention one business that he created, I mean, if you look at other families in South Africa, their companies that were created, Anglo American is a company that was created, for example, by a family, or De Beers is another company was created by a family, or Bitwest is another company. So those are all companies that were created and built from scratch in South Africa, not in the case of Cyril Ramaphosa. He's a multi-millionaire or a multi-billionaire, and he hasn't created a real company, but he was on the receiving end of many so-called BE deals.
So in terms of the issue, of course, around growth of the South African economy, I would say that's probably one of the most significant, I think, failures. Is why has, if we have to look at some of the main causes for this lack of growth, what would you put as the top few?
As an economy, well, there's only one reason why the economy hasn't been growing, and that the reason is called the ANC. But more specifically, as an economist, you know, there are a few very, very basic things that need to happen for an economy to grow. And I'm from a certain idea. I have got a certain ideological beliefs as well. I believe in a free market system, for example. And if that is your belief, then your approach must be to protect private property rights. And there are three things. Protect private property property rights, encourage and protect free trade and sound money. Those are the three really, really basic things. So the protection of private property rights is actually quite wide. It's not only about expropriation. It's also about relatively low tax levels, for example. And it's also about the crime levels and things like that. So the protection of property rights is not just a short sentence. It's a really broad idea about the protection of life and property. The free trade also means that you must allow and you must encourage for economic agents to trade with one another. And there are many examples in South Africa where we actively prevent this from happening. Minimum wages is a very good example of that. Mm. If you want to enter in some professions or if you want to start a business or something, you have to get all sort of licenses and red tape. Those things are preventing free trade, preventing wealth creation. And then the third one that I mentioned is sound money. That simply means low inflation. Now, we have not been successful with that for many, many decades, not only during the ANC, but recently, I must say, the South African Reserve Bank has been doing a sterling job. So at least from that point of view, from sound money or low inflation, the Reserve Bank is doing actually quite a good job. But over a long period of time, the rand has lost a huge amount of its value against most of the other currencies. But those are the three major basic things. I can be more specific in telling you that we have to have a civil service that's effective and efficient. And that means the local authorities must work, which doesn't happen. And it's because of cadre deployment and incompetence in that. The state-owned enterprises must work properly, and the Eskom and Transnet and that. It doesn't happen, again, because of cadre deployment and incompetence and corruption and things like that. And to a large extent, the way that the national accounts are managed, what the Minister of Finance is responsible for, the debt levels in South Africa has become unsustainable. And the reason for that is because we spend money on the wrong things and we don't get value for money. The civil servants in South Africa are hugely overpaid and hugely underworked. Not all of them, of course. But those are the kind of realities. And to change that, you need political backbone. And I'm afraid the president hasn't got that. But like I've said, it's not only the president. It's a whole ideological setup, and it's the policies. And there's history, of course, and all sort of things. So, yeah, he has been a dismal failure as far as economic performance is concerned.
What about how much impact do global events have? In other words, and can the ANC use that as a validation or justification for the situation?
Yeah, of course, quite often. South Africa is a small open economy. Whatever happens internationally will have a huge impact on the South African economy. We see that right now. But that is part of the reason why you have to have a well-managed economy. If you have buffers and if you have some reserves, then it's always going to be difficult out there. There will always be some sort of international crisis. But we are running on empty in South Africa. For example, we don't have enough oil reserves, for instance. The fiscal account simply does not have space to support the economy. The Minister of Finance cannot lower taxes in order to support the economy because he needs the money because he's borrowed too much money. So that we're running on empty on the fiscal accounts as well. The only place where there is some space for movement is actually at the Reserve Bank, South African Central Bank, because they've been managing it quite conservatively, monetary policy for a long time. And that means that you've got dry ammunition. But for the rest, no, we just don't have that. And believe me, there is going to be another international crisis. And every time when the new international crisis hits us, it's going to have another impact on the economy. Be prepared for all sort of things that can happen internationally. This is not the last time.
Absolutely,
that you're going to see a crisis.
It's not needs to be resilient. So, if South Africa wants to achieve meaningful economic growth, wants to reduce unemployment, what are the key reforms that need to happen in the next few years?
And again, I think the answer is going to be political. I've given you some of the economic answers that you need to do A, B, and C to get this economy to grow. I guess you have to somehow get confidence back in the economy. And let's be honest, there are some signs that confidence are slowly getting back to the economy. The Middle Eastern crisis was a bit of a hiccup in the road, I would say. I think things are gradually improving. But if we want to get this economy to grow, and we can do this, if we want to get this economy to grow at 4, 5, 6%, and many countries actually do that, and just go and learn what they are doing, and certainly what we need to do, we have to, I guess we need to fix politics, because we've given ANC a very, very long time. They've messed it up. And it's time for us to realize that and to tell the ANC that they've messed it up. And the numbers are all there. I mentioned the local authorities, state-owned enterprises, and everything, crime levels and quality of education, all those sort of things. Everything are pointing in the wrong direction. And that means that we need to change politics. So that's what we need to change. I've got a sense we are changing politics.
Yeah, please God, you're right. And I do think that. My observation is that over the last year we've started having conversations that we've been too uncomfortable to have before. And I think those conversations have been absolutely vital. I know that I mean, I can be an ox. I can say all sorts of things that other people don't say. And even I've been just a little bit hesitant, or maybe trying to be too sensitive to talk about the disasters of BEE. But that ship has sailed. People are openly having conversations that we should have been having a while back, debating these things and talking about what is good for us and what isn't. And to me, that's the most positive sign of all.
Absolutely. And I think that is a silver lining. I think in the end, it's not going to be the ANC or any other political party that's going to save us. It's going to be us. It's going to be the people of the country. And I actually have quite a lot of confidence in the people of this country.
I love that. And that is a perfect note to leave it on. Davie Roux, thank you as always. Founder, director, chief economist of the Efficient Group.